centre and have Luca run over and inquire, what are you here for? What are you going to do? And they actually let him come with me when the heater's not working or when something, because Luca is learning how to fix it. All right? It's amazing. I did see a marked similarity between Nick's chin and that baby's head, Henry's head. There's a similarity there. There's some red stuff growing. So I'm looking forward to. And I like that, Nick, what you said about the village. I was thinking about that too. And it's not just words. What I have to say is hey, Henry, you can come and raid my fridge anytime. All right? Come and raid my fridge anytime. Welcome to John and Liz. Just great to have you with us. And it's that time of the year, kind of like Super Bowl down under. And we have in our midst what you would say is a Cowboys supporter, because it's Canterbury versus Auckland, and this man is Canterbury through and through. And Auckland, that's my team, is playing Canterbury, but he lives in Auckland. Oh, yeah, he lives in Auckland. So I'm hoping that Auckland takes the win. Hey, I just want to bring this out. Look, you know what that is? Right? That is called a carabiner. How many people know that? How many people have used these? Jay, I know that you use these. You know, they're very, very important to a person like Jay, because he's able to, you use them too, don't you? Lots of times, and because you guys get up on that ladder, and sometimes you have to use this to hold you there, and other times, you know, you just do that, and your keys find a good place to stay. They're good. They're at home. They're not going to get lost, because they're also probably attached down here. Carabiners, clip-ons. They've changed our lives. They've helped a lot, transformed our lives. How many of you are wearing slip-on shoes this morning? Right? Oh, yep. Slip-on shoes are great. I made a mistake this morning. I put on a pair of shoes where I had to tie up my laces. And I discovered as I bent over to tie up my laces that I kind of kept on rolling forward. And that's why slip-ons are so useful. You know, you just walk up to them and you slip your feet on. So we've got clip-ons and we've got slip-ons. They make life so easy. They make life so easy. What else is there? Do you remember clip-on ties? Yeah, do you? Do you? Has anybody still got a clip-on tie on this morning? Yeah? Do you remember clip-on ties? I remember once we were going down to play Counties Manukau, and the guy that was the coach, the manager of the team, he made us wear ties, and so we all had to learn really quick to tie a tie. The clip-on tie wasn't good enough, as far as he was concerned. I forget his name, John. You probably know him. I don't know, but here we go. Look at this. You know, you've got to be able to tie a tie, all right? And so we learned how to tie a tie, and it took me past my clip-on tie to, does it look all right? I can't see. Does it look okay? Is it worked out properly? Yeah, all right. That's not bad, is it? I mean, I can't see it. Is it okay, Jill? Is it? Yeah. Oh, it's turned around the wrong way. Look at that. And I've got a really great tie here because it's got the Christian down here, and there's a great big whale here with a beady little red eye watching the Christian. And I guess it's just a message to all of us that Christians, you've been watched, you know? I don't know, but it's got a little red eye. So there's something about moving from being clip-on, being slip-on, being snap-on tools. I'm told they're great things, too expensive for me. Life can be like that, you know. We can have a life that's just full of clip-ons, full of snap-ons, full of slip-ons, just making life easier for us. But Christianity is not a snap-on religion. Christianity is not a clip-on religion. Christianity is not a slip-on religion. My life is richer, and I've never forgotten. My life is richer. I can remember when I was taught to tie a tie. Wouldn't it be terrible if, say, Ryan was to come over to me and say, oh, look, Phil, could you tie my shoelaces for me? You know, you'd think that was pretty funny, wouldn't you? Pretty strange. We need to, there's something about being able to tie the knot, being able to tie the knot. I was with a missionary yesterday. Well, he's not really a missionary. He's based in South Carolina. He travels all around the world to different places, and he teaches people about how to plant churches. And he's seen thousands and thousands of churches planted as a result. And we could hear about this clip-on thing. I remember going to India and preaching to folk in India And you'll know this for yourself too, Christo. I think it's you're one of the guys that said this to me, that the time comes, you know, where you suddenly realize that you're preaching about Jesus Christ, who the Bible says is the way, the truth. He's the only way to God, you know. And then you discover that what these folks are doing is they're adding Jesus Christ to all of these other gods that they have, right? He becomes just another one. He's added to what, the 33,000 or so, and becomes just another one that's added in. And we hear things like that, and we'd say, oh, well, that's in India. But look, it's much the same here in America. And this is what this missionary guy that I was with yesterday, he was just saying that we're just more sophisticated in our Hinduism. They tend to see the tree as a spiritual force or whatever, you know. Well, we have things that we allow to take the place of God. I mentioned football. We can allow football to take the place of God. We really can. If we can allow cars can take the place of God. We can develop such an affinity for cars that they take God's place. Food can, you know, our dedication to food and the cooking of it and all of that kind of stuff. There's all kinds of stuff that what we've got to watch out for with these clip-ons. You see, by adding on clip-ons, we're trying to make life easier. We're trying to make things easier. And what we find, though, is that it doesn't make life easier. There's always something more we've got to clip on. You know, there's always something more we've got to slip into. There's always something more. And so there's a lack of satisfaction out of the things that take God's place. You see, what's happened is that we've been separated from God. And as a result of that, we're constantly trying to, in some way or another, we're constantly trying to make up for that gap between us and God. And we do it by slipping these other things in. But they never satisfy. They never fulfill. They do for a little while, but not for long. In fact, the Christian person, in fact, everybody has to realize that if we believe that we're created beings, then what that means is that we owe our allegiance to our Creator. Let me illustrate this. My wife works, and so I try to cook when she works. I'm enjoying the money she brings home, right? It's good. She enjoys. You enjoy your job, don't you? Most of the time, yeah. And so I try and do the cooking because, you know, she's out there. She's no spring chicken anymore. And oh, you know, we're getting old, my sweet. We're getting old. We're only middle-aged? Really? Middle-aged? Yeah, alive. I thought I was running down the other side of the hill at a fair rate of knots. Man, yeah. Isn't it middle-aged when you're on top of the hill? I don't feel like that anymore. I'm going down the other side. Yeah. And the great thing about going down the other side is that you can run faster, of course. Well, if you don't fall over. I tend to fall over now, you know. So anyway, we have to realize that if we believe in a created being, it means that our Maker had a reason for creating us. And in Genesis 1 through 3, we've got this incredible story of creation and the fall. And we tend to read it and take note of the fall, but the part that I want to take note of is that we're created, and he stands back, and he looks at what he's created, and he says, it's very good. He's really enthralled. God is really enthralled by what he's created. And the other thing that just amazes me is that it goes on to say that in the cool of the day, he came down to have fellowship with his creation. In the cool of the day. I mean, you probably get upset if somebody takes your time in the best part of the day. You know, we're all like that a little bit, aren't we? You know, we'll have a visitor turn up at just the wrong time. Just, I'm involved in doing something really important for me or whatever you like, and they're kind of taking my time. Well, God was giving the best of his time to what he had created, and it gave him pleasure. Can you just wrap your minds around that for a little while? It's an incredible thing that here's this God that created us, and he's coming down and he's spending the best part of the day with what he has created. And that's something that's so sweet. But the thing that we have to realize is that if we have a creator, then it's the creator who makes the rules. And we don't like that. We don't like that. That's where we start to react. In fact, there was only a simple rule that we had to follow in the garden, and we didn't follow it. We went our own way. And we lost that special relationship with God as a result. But, he's made it possible because his heart's desire still is. It didn't take him by surprise. His heart's desire still is that everybody that's in this room comes back into that relationship with him again. He's gone and made a way for people to return to that degree of fellowship. That's what God wants for you. He wants that degree of fellowship with you again. And he's made the way possible for that to happen. Think of it like this. Here's one way that I kind of explained it to myself. I like to cook, like I said. Getting back to that picture. And the cooking's got to turn out how I want it to turn out. Do you still design dresses? No, you don't design. You do internal interior designing? Are you upset when something doesn't turn out how you expected it to? Yeah, I'm like that too. You know, if something that I've, and I'm a very rudimentary cook, right? If something doesn't turn out how I expected, I don't like that. Right? When my creation doesn't turn out how I want it to turn out, I don't like it. And there we have God who's created us, and we haven't quite turned out how he wanted us to turn out. Right? And so there's a couple of things that he expects us to do so that we get back into fellowship with him. That's his desire. His desire is that we fellowship with him forever. You know, erase everything else. That's his desire. He wants what he's made to live and move and have its being in him. That's what he wants. That's in the book of Acts. Paul talking to the folks in Athens about that. We're to live and move and have our being in him. Let me try and put it another way. Am I making sense so far? Are you following me all right? All right? Yeah, yell out if you're not. Oh, must be okay. I don't know. Is silence golden? Let me put it another way. How many people here know what a Bentley is? Bentley, very Bentley. A Bentley. Very, extremely, it's really a rich man's car, right? Down under, I think a Bentley might be close to $400,000, $500,000, right? Here, it's about $250,000, you know? So that's a really expensive car, right? And so when I was young, I still do sometimes, I get attacked by this foolish arrogance, and I think I can fix my own car. And sometimes I've managed to fix my own car. Sometimes, if I've done my own brakes, I'm driving down the road and I think, wow, I don't know why this thing's not crashing on me or whatever, because I fixed it, not the expert. When you have a $250,000 car, you need to have a guy who's used to working on a $250,000 car doing your work for you. All right? Not me in my misguided arrogance. And that technician, that $250,000 technician, he needs to follow and obey the maker's manual. All right? It's really important. Otherwise, it's going to cost us a lot. That $250,000 car is going to go down the tubes. It's going to wrap itself around a pole, and boy, what a write-off that would be. You know? Well, so it is with God. We're his masterpieces. To him, we are worth a lot. We are worth more than a Bentley. More than a Bentley. All right? And he sent the Holy Spirit to work on our lives. And he's given us a manual to work by. Let's understand and be humble and say, yep, God is our maker. He has some rules for us to live by. As we pursue our self-fulfillment, you see, what, apart from God, as we pursue our self-improvement, our self-fulfillment, like I said before, it tends to work for a little while, but then it sort of rubs off. That's been your experience, has it? You know, stuff works for a while, and then it rubs off. It reminds me a lot of, there's a saying, chasing the horse, right? Some of you know what that means. But I used to chase lambs. That's how I used to get fit for rugby, right? I'd chase lambs around these 100-acre paddocks up north. And so you'd be chasing this lamb, and you'd get just to where you can dive and jump on it, right? And the lamb would just go sideways. And you'd lie there beating the ground. you know, really upset with yourself. It's kind of like that. Life can be like that. You know, we can be chasing what we want to fulfill our lives with. And so what we'll do is we'll go get another clip-on. We'll buy a little motorbike, right? That we can do the lambing on a motorbike, and we'll be driving. We used to do this. We'd drive along on our motorbikes, and we'd get up alongside the lamb, little lambs looking at, up at us, and we'd jump off the bike, let the bike crash, you know, jump off the bike, and guess what? The lamb still shoots the other way. Anybody tried to go to an old-fashioned county A&P show, you know, where they've had grease the pig? Have you done that? Have you tried to catch the pig? Oh, I just couldn't imagine you doing it, Jody. Yeah. You can see yourself doing it. Yeah, yeah. And so, the trouble is, though, you're chasing along after the pig, and the pig's been greased. In my hometown, it was the funniest thing. This pig got away. Nobody could catch it, and so it's running through my hometown. I was in Lancaster once, and here's this pig running along Lincoln Highway in Lancaster. It's amazing. Reminded me of this, but you get your arms and the thing just squeezes out. And life seems to be so much like that sometimes, doesn't it? All these add-ons, all these clip-ons, they really don't fit the bill. They really don't take us through to, they just don't ultimately satisfy us at all. And the fact of the matter is that Christianity is not a clip-on religion. So for a start, Christianity is not a religion. You see, the thing is that God, that relationship that was described for us in Genesis chapter 1 through 3, that relationship where he met with us in the cool of the day. I recommend that you go away and you read Genesis 1 through 3. That relationship that was described for us there, that's what God wants for us. And that's a relationship. That is not some kind of liturgy. That's not having to clip on a hair shirt. That's not having to walk on your knees up the mountain of St. John up there in Montreal, Mount Royal. It's not doing these kinds of religious acts of sacrifice. They're all clip-ons that lead nowhere. It's a relationship with God that completely fulfills and satisfies us. We try to do thing after thing in our search for satisfaction, clip-on after slip-on after snap-on, and it doesn't work. Christianity's not like that. Jesus said, and if we could throw up the slides. I see it's Bronwyn back there now. Thank you, Bronwyn. Thank you very much. If you could put the first slide up there. Jesus, he said, you can't put new wine in old wineskins. It can't be a clip-on. It can't just be an add-on. You can't put new wine into old wineskins, because if you do, the wine will burst the skins. I have friends who live just out of up in Amberley, not far from Christchurch, right? And they make wine, and it takes so much work. I don't know why they do it. It's so much work. I guess it's just for satisfaction. But they don't need to do it. But they're doing it. They make their own wine, and they've got acres and acres of it. And they have to go through the vineyard, and they have to trim it. And just now, of course, they're getting ready for the fruit to appear. Okay, because it's summer down there, right? And not quite. It's spring, really, isn't it? And so the fruit is starting to appear. And so that ushers in a whole new raft of work that they have to do. Now imagine, they get through to the point where they pick the harvest, they get the harvest, and they get the wine, and they render it down, they squash it down and all the rest of it, and they get it into the casks and then into the bottles. And imagine if the bottles break. Imagine going down into the cellar and finding broken bottles. Like my mum occasionally would go down for the ginger beer that she had made, and she'd find that the bottles had exploded. Have any of you ever experienced that? It's very dissatisfying when that happens, because you're looking forward to your ginger beer on a hot day, you know, and you find that the bottle's broken and there's none there. And this is the picture here. No one pours new wine into old wineskins, because if you do, the wine will burst the skins. Can't happen. Can't be an add-on. Can't be an add-on. Both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. God has new life for us, and he puts it into a new you. You see? New life for us, and he puts it into a new you. So he's saying here very strongly, Christianity is not an add-on. And he goes on to say, you shouldn't be surprised about this. Well, what are you surprised about? You've got to be born again. You must be born again. Now, he's talking to an old man, Nicodemus, when he says this. In John chapter 3, I think it is. Is that right? Yeah, John chapter 3. He's talking to Nicodemus when he says this. And Nicodemus doesn't understand what he's saying. Because it's radical. You have to, Nicodemus, what I've got for you, you have to be born again. Now, we've seen the example this morning of a wonderful little baby, new life. Right? A fresh life, new life. Life way stretched out before young Henry. What a life. What a life it's going to be for him. And that's what God says to us old, hard-bitten people who have been chasing our clip-ons, chasing our slip-ons, chasing our whatever it is, the stuff that we've put in the place of God that just hasn't been satisfying us. God comes to us and says, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Just be born again. Just be born again. And so it's a whole-of-life thing, being born again. In that whole concept of the whole of life, it's not about a clip-on, is it? It's about a whole brand new life. It's about being transformed from the inside out. It's about becoming a brand new person from the inside out. How? How can that happen? Nicodemus asks a fair question there. How can that happen? Well, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus says, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And everybody who does this, everybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's it. Does that sound like it to you when you look at all the religions that there are? Is it that? Does it sound that simple to you? Oh, we try and make things so complicated because that's too simple. That's just way too simple. What Jesus is saying right there is, how do you be born again? If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is Jesus. That's the God of Genesis speaking. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. It really is that simple. How many people here right now believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? Right? How many of you can say, yes, God raised Jesus from the dead? Can you say that? Can I hear you saying that? Yeah. So, can all of you say that? God raised Jesus from the dead? Yeah. Are you saying that because you believe it? Yes. Really? Yes. That's it. That's it. You've confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. It really is that simple. It really is that simple. Because you see, there's nothing that we can do to be saved. It's those who call on the name of the Lord. The one who spoke and all of these things that we see came into existence. That's the genius of God. That's the capacity of God. That's the ability of God. So don't you think that when it comes to being born again, he has the same capacity? That it is not at all reliant on what we can do. It is a matter of believing that he raised Jesus from the dead and confessing that he raised Jesus from the dead and you are saved. That's what it says. That's what it says. So simple. And yet we try and make it so complicated. So simple. But we try and make it so complicated. I want to move on to where I'm going to finish. What's going to happen? Those of you might today, right now, as you said that, you might have said that for the first time. Or you might have said it for the second or third time. Well, let me tell you something, because I know this to be true. That at some stage today, or tomorrow, some stage during this week, you're going to think about something differently. Why? Because by you making that confession, Jesus Christ lives in your heart by his Holy Spirit. And he just helps you to think differently about things. And there's going to be stuff about which you now think differently. And if you want to bless me, you give me a call, right? I remember one night in the middle of the night, I got a call from a guy that I knew as a very angry, violent person. And I'd been meeting with him and so on and so on. Anyway, one night in the middle of the night, he calls me and I look at the, oh, gee, what now? You know, and you pick up the phone and And he says, Phil, I just rang you because I wanted to tell you I didn't hit him. I didn't lash out. Something just made me think differently about the whole situation. That's what God does. Because he's God, you see. He's God. He begins to speak. And if we believe that Christ Jesus was raised from the dead by the power of God, he's alive and at work in our mortal being. That's scripture that says that. Right? And so he's thinking. He's helping us to think. And so on and so on. He's helping us to do it. And so everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Life becomes sweeter. You expect life to be sweeter. Not easier, but sweeter. Bitter goes. That's one of the things that I've found. Bitter goes. Bitter just goes. All right. So through Jesus Christ, we're united with God. We're united to God, and we're going to be with him forever. Okay? So Thomas, though, when Jesus is talking about this to him in John 15, 16, 17, he's talking to his disciples, and I think Thomas, like Nicodemus, is a very reasonable person. They're kind of like every man. They're kind of like asking the questions that we would ask. And so Thomas, in the next slide, if you could go to the next slide, Thomas, he's going on a journey. He's been told he's going on a journey. And so he's ready to go on the journey. And how can we know the way? Jesus, you're telling us about something that we know nothing about. So how can we know the way? And so one of the things that Jesus says back to him is, well, I've been with you and you know me. And if you know me, you know the Father, because the Father and I, we are one. When I speak, it's because the Father's spoken to me. And later on, he talks about when the Holy Spirit speaks, the Holy Spirit is going to speak of the things of God as well. And so Thomas asks this very reasonable question. How can I know the way to God? Because we're talking about getting back into this place of fellowship with God, where God spends the best part of his day with you and I. God spends the best part of his day with you and I. Yeah? Can you imagine being invited into the best part of the day with God? That's what he's wanting to do. That's what he made us for. We've been made for that. You understand that we were before God. You know, we talk about being a twinkle in the eye, you know. No, we won't relate that to today. But God, before anything else, he had your future in mind. And he, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the master makes a masterpiece. You are the masterpiece. Right? This is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. You are the masterpiece. The masterpiece that he's making is for the future that he has for you. He's making you for your future. Understand? He's making you for the future that he has for you. He's our creator. He has the right to do that. So give up your small ambitions, as Xavier said, and just hand it all over to God, as Liz said. Hand it all over to God, and you will move into what you have been made for. What an exciting thought that is. The God who created the universe, he's also made you for the future that he's got for you. And so how can we know the way? And so Jesus answers and says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you'll know my Father as well. From now on, in fact, you do know him. Jesus said it, so I believe it. It applies to you right now. From now on, you made that confession before. You believe in your heart that Christ was raised from the dead by the power of God. So therefore, you know the Father. End of story. End of story. And so, the Holy Spirit is placed into our lives, and we're led along the way of life. And the beautiful thing is that Psalm 73 says, when that finishes, he will take us into glory. He will take us to be with him. See that there? Beautiful, isn't it? Beautiful. Absolutely. He's going to guide us. He's going to empower us. He's going to show us what to do. This week's going to be different because the Holy Spirit of God is with you. Wonderful thing. So if we ask the Holy Spirit to empower us for life, for everyday life, we will live righteous lives. Now, we look for satisfaction. We look for fulfillment. I remember seeing a movie with Wendell Snipes. I forget his name. Wesley Snipes. And I can't remember what movie it is. But all I can remember him saying is he's looking at your favorite actor, the old guy now. Anyway, he's looking at him and he says, why are you persisting with this? Why don't you just give up? He says, I'm seeking righteousness. We're all seeking righteousness. Well, God gives us righteousness. We're clothed with righteousness because of that simple confession that we made before. It's the righteousness of God. And there's a righteousness of life. In the next slide, listen to this. In the next slide, it says, I'm going to send to you from the Father the Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit. And when He comes, the Spirit of truth, He's going to guide you into all truth. No more not going. No more not knowing. He's going to guide us into all truth, into His truth. Remember Pilate ringing, what is truth? What is truth? Remember all that? Well, we have a Spirit within us, the Spirit of God that gives us truth and guides us into all truth. And so we can live righteously. Full satisfaction. A fulfillment of life that we've not had before. But you'll receive power, goes on to say in the book of Acts, which is a companion to the book of Luke. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria. Wherever God is, He's going to be there with you, right to the ends of the earth. Wherever God takes you in this life that He's prepared for you, He will be with you, empowering you by His Holy Spirit. So you are able to live such good lives amongst the unbelievers, the pagans, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your good deeds and they will glorify God on the day that He visits us. They will say stuff. Some people came in this morning that I hadn't seen for a long time, Tony and her friend. Are they still here? Is Tony still here? There we are. Tony shared a one. I remember years ago, how long ago was it, Tony? How many years ago did we start praying for your granddaughter? Eight or nine years ago, right? The village, this community, started praying for Tony's granddaughter. She alerted us to the fact, man alive, this. If you thought impossible applied to somebody, it applied to her, right? And Tony just walked in, and her prayers have been answered. Tony's a grandmother. And Kelsey is down there in Louisiana. In fact, there's a website. If you go up to Tony afterwards, Tony will give you the website, and you can read her testimony. God persevered and won her over, and she is now walking in the cool of the day with her Lord. Isn't that a tremendous thing? It's tremendous. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll be my witnesses. You will live such good lives that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they'll see your good deeds. And they'll glorify God. They'll see your righteousness. Let it be. Don't let them see unrighteousness. Let unrighteousness go from you just by being obedient. It's so simple. This stuff is so simple. We complicate it by adding all our clip-ons on, our additives, our self-righteous aids, but it's to no avail. Be born again. Become a totally new person in Jesus Christ. Be filled by the power of His Spirit. Now, there is a little catch. Let's go on to the next slide. I've got to be honest with you. Everything's been so simple and one side, it's all about God, hasn't it? But there is a catch. God does have an expectation of us. He is our maker. And so therefore, we are to be obedient. Can we say the word obedient? Obedient. We hate that word. We do not like the word obedient. You know, we do not like to be obedient. But obedience to God, to our maker, the creator, it's a different thing. And He has some things. And so from the life of the early church, from what you read about in the Bible, this is just a few things. Look at them up there. Believe in and receive Jesus. Just obey Him. Believe in and receive Jesus. Confess Him, that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by God, by the power of God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be baptized. You know, some people think that to be filled with the Holy Spirit is an optional extra. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not an optional extra. It makes your life different. God never leaves you. That's what we just said. We shouldn't sing these songs if we don't believe them. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be baptized. That's a command. Fellowship with a community of fellow believers. Celebrate communion with them. That's the other ordinance, if you like. Celebrate communion with them. You know, the beautiful thing is that we're able to celebrate communion with a whole ragtag bunch of people that if we didn't recognize that we had all been born again and made brand new people inside, we couldn't stand them. Right? There are people with whom we have a natural affinity. There are others that we don't. But here we are, fellowshipping with each other. And that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it. Looking past differences. Looking past all kinds of differences. All kinds of differences. Just looking past. Fellowshipping with a community of fellow believers. Celebrating communion. Celebrating the fact that the Lord has given himself for us and that he is a soon coming king. We celebrate that with each other. Be generous. Be a generous giver to the cause. Tell others and show others about Jesus' work in your life. And be a disciple of Jesus who makes disciples. Have you ever thought, as my missionary friend said yesterday, that we can't call ourselves disciples until we see people that we had a part in leading to discipleship who are making disciples? Disciple makers make disciples who make disciples. And that's what the power of God has been given to us for. Can I ask you just to close your eyes right now? Can I ask you to do that? And can I ask you to just contemplate those words? Do you believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by God the Father? Do you? Yeah. Just say yes. Confess it with your mouth. Do you believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by God the Father? Yeah. Yeah. So much unfolds in your life as a result of that simple declaration. Spirit of God begins to work in your life. And you're going to find this week that he's going to start speaking into your life. You're going to think about things and you're going to do some things differently. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. And the evidence of that will be the speaking of the Holy Spirit in your life, leading you into righteousness for his name's sake. The glory of God. You're righteous before him because of that confession. But there's a righteousness of good things being done before the world. They don't save us, but it gives the world a picture of Christ at work in each one of us. And so, as we draw to a close, just let go and let God move in you. This week. Amen? Just give whatever is a stumbling block to you over to God, and this week allow him to use you. Discover God. Let him speak to you. You'll be amazed. Amen? God bless you. God bless each one of you. You go this week. The power of God goes with you no matter where you go. Here, in this state, to the outermost parts of the world, wherever God leads you, he's in you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. That's one of his promises from the Word of God. So you go confident of your future in God. Amen? Amen. God bless you.